Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lots going on today around the National Football League. There's lots going on in Athens as well. We're going to talk to our man Rusty Manziel here in just a minute. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It is Dukes and Bell. Spent the weekend, Mike, up in Pittsburgh. Talk more about it coming up on the show. We also have some guy talk, and Bill Bender's going to join us to talk some college football as well from the sporting news here in about 25 minutes. But interesting situation up there when the Cowboys and Steelers play. There's nothing like that. And that was one of the reasons we went. I was talking about this doc that we're working on, this group I'm involved with. And the fandom is nuts, man. It just is. And it was really crazy. I think that was their second Steelers home game. I think that's the second one. But, you know, playing the Cowboys, it brings out everybody. I must have met, real quick, six different people from different parts of the world that came because those two teams hardly ever play.
And the history of it, right.
Yeah, and I was like blown away. Australia, you know, you just take it for granted. And we talk about the NFL being a global game, but we'll get into it a little bit more coming up. We got to talk about what's going on with the Dogs. If you're just joining us, UGA wide receiver Colby Young arrested. And we're going to talk to Rusty about that as well as his team that now has to go and beat a Miss State team before they take on what is right now the number one team in the country in Texas Longhorns the week after next. Let's talk some Dogs. All right, Rusty, plain and simple, what do you know about this with Colby Young? And what should we know about this situation? Because I know there's some details that probably the public is not aware of.
Well, first of all, I've been listening to you guys. You've done a hell of a job today. I think y'all have been very honest, been very upfront. And a guy that covers Georgia football and has covered Georgia football for a long time, absolute kind of worst-case scenario here for everybody involved. Let me explain that. Georgia needs no more headlines with arrest, period. They don't need anything for the next 5 years, and that's just being honest from a guy that covers his team. And I think Mike touched on that, national perception, those type of things. This situation here in particular is a tough one because this is not cut and dry. This isn't a speeding ticket of 90 miles an hour in downtown Athens. This is a he said, she said. Colby Young's already hired an attorney. He had an attorney this morning already. They issued a statement. She came to his house last night now, this is what I'm reading is right. She came to discuss their relationship. It's his ex-girlfriend. You know, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, Colby Young's in jail. So, you know, a situation like this, I don't know how this thing is going to play out. He can't play for Georgia right now, but I see people saying he's got to go. Let me give you an example. In May, Sakovi White, one of the best kids I've ever covered, guys. This is one of the best kids I've ever covered, a freshman from Cass High School. He gets arrested for reckless driving, and I go, what the hell is going on? The good kids are making bad decisions. Well, Sakovi White's dad happens to be an attorney. Well, he goes and pulls all the tape, and 2 weeks later, lo and behold, Athens-Clark County drops the charges and said, we can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that was reckless driving. So those charges were dropped. You don't go back and get those headlines. That was cut and dry. This is not cut and dry. There's probably not going to be any type of security camera. This is going to be someone's word versus somebody else's word. I don't know how this is going to play out. The bottom line is, if I'm Georgia, you spend a lot of energy today and a lot of administrative time trying to figure out what is going on from both sides of this. So regardless, as a coaching staff, as a player, as administration, you had to spend time today talking about another arrest. You don't need any of that. But this thing's got to play out, and I don't know how it's going to play out. A lot of different details right now.
It's our man, Rusty Manziel, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And that's the thing, Russ. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. I get it. You know, he's going to have his day in court, and it may get dismissed, and hopefully that is the case. But off the heels of the rah-rah Thomas, the optics are just terrible nationally.
Yes.
The other thing is, and let me ask you, because you've got a good relationship with Kirby. Mm-hmm. ETN has an off-the-field incident behind the wheel. They get that adjudicated, mm-hmm. gets knocked down to a lesser charge. Everybody knows he's been suspended, but he's not suspended. Why wouldn't Kirby just say, I suspended him? Does he not want to give the media the satisfaction of saying what he did what he needed to do?
I don't know. I don't sit in that chair, so I don't know. And I go back to I talked to Sam Pittman one time, and I said, Coach, how's it like being a head coach? He said, Rusty, it's the most difficult thing you've ever done. There's no training. There's no training for sitting in that seat. So getting to that, I don't know Kirby's thought process there on why you don't. It's like Daniel Harris. Daniel Harris was the young man that got arrested. If you guys remember the Kentucky week, he's going 100 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and his first offense for him. Regardless of wrong, that was another bad deal. Well, he didn't play Kentucky, and I'm pretty sure he didn't play against Alabama. Well, he played this past week. To me, you come out and say, okay, this is this kid's first offense. He's done this. He's ran bleachers. We've done this. We've taken NIL, which I know for a fact. Those types of things are going on, and we're not talking about weekly allowance. We're talking about big-time money for these kids. At some point, you're losing some of that. And if you just come out and say, okay, this guy's suspended for the next two games, Trevor Etienne suspended for the Clemson game, I don't know why those things aren't happening, but I can assure you there's disciplinary things going on. Ra-Ra Thomas was dismissed the day that came out. When the facts were out, he was not part of Georgia by the end of the day. Daniel David had multiple speeding violations and traffic violations. He was gone this summer. That's a kid that probably, if not started, would have played a lot. So they're doing things. You just can't continue to have things like this pop up. You don't need any more headlines. And I guarantee you, everybody in the office understands that. But you don't need any more headlines, period, that doesn't involve Georgia football or why we're not scoring the red zone.
I agree. Rusty Manziel joining us, and he's talking about the transparency, which is something I was bringing up earlier about where I'd love to see Kirby go with this. I'm not going to say get out ahead of it, but let dog fans know what we do. This is how we handle this stuff, and you got to know we have it under control as far as what we're trying to preach. Let's talk about the game side of things. What'd you think about the Auburn performance?
Auburn might be the best bad team I've ever seen. And let me say, you know what I mean? Can I say that?
Yeah.
Like, God, they got freaking dudes, man. Yep. I mean, you're talking about it has to be a frustrated fan base. Because, I mean, I looked at Auburn and I said, damn, they look like Auburn. I mean, this is no – that wasn't coach speak. When Kirby was talking about that was a good team last week. They make some bonehead decisions. The fourth and one, right in that game, whatever happened, seems like, I guess, Peyton Thorne, I saw today, maybe throw Hugh Freeze under the bus in a podcast saying that he didn't change the play. Mm. Who knows what happened there? But defensively, they're really good. I think Georgia had to really battle to get what they can get. And I say this, everybody in the country, everybody in America kind of understands now the parity of college football after last weekend. If you don't, you're not paying attention because Vanderbilt just beat Alabama and Arkansas was a 14.5 point underdog at home and beat Tennessee. So anybody on any given Saturday, you got to take an 18-point win at home against Auburn. Guys, one of the crazy stats I think I've ever heard, and Mike, you've been in the South for a long time following this, Georgia is 17-3 in the last 20 games against Auburn. That's unbelievable to me growing up in the 80s and 90s. If you went 5-5 in 10 years, you had a hell of a series against Auburn. Georgia's 17-3 in the last 20 games.
It's like Vince Dooley against Florida, you know, in his prime. And the thing is, and that's, Kirby calls out the fans, and I was like, damn. I mean, it's 100 degrees out there, and unfortunately, the game did not have a good ebb and flow. And ever since they moved it from November, a lot of guys have pointed out, just didn't have the same juice. And Auburn, to your point, Russ, is not living up to their end of the bargain.
Yeah. I mean, I had people last week. I had somebody text me and say, hey, man, not being funny, I think the person's okay. Somebody texted me pregame and said, we just had somebody pass out sober next to us. It's so hot down here. And I was like, and they had sober in caps. So, I mean, it was a hot day. And I know that, Kirby wants to keep that energy. They want to keep that home field advantage. And, listen, after what he went through in Tuscaloosa, I guarantee you he was glad to be home and hoping they were going to have what they went through in Tuscaloosa. This would be a better home game. Mississippi State, this going through this, even though it's not a team that they're very, highly favored to beat them, be a little bit cooler. People start to appreciate home games a little more, but I don't think it's going to be any question. Tennessee's going to roll in here next month. Georgia Tech's going to play on Friday night. I don't think the juice and the crowd noise is going to be a problem or anybody's going to bring that up. But I'm telling you, that was a hell of a topic for about 24 hours, and all of a sudden, it's not a topic.
Yeah. And by the way, we as fans, you put up with some conditions sometimes, especially early in the season. Man, it's hot end of August, early September. It just is.
On one side of Sanford Stadium, you better come in with some SPF 100. I mean, you will get get smoked on that one side. I get it. And just so happens the Sooners on that side. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. It's
the reason why the big money alumni sit on one side of the stadium. I can assure you of that.
Hey, Carl, by the way, I'm in section 130.
Okay, so
I'm
you're good.
In the shade.
Yeah, you're good. You got to know these
Hey,
fans.
Rusty, can we get some beers going or something on Saturday? It's got all day. It's pregame.
Hey, it's a good tailgate. Let's do it, man.
There it is. Rusty, tell the people where they can follow you, man, on three and all that.
Yeah, Dogs HQ is my Georgia site, and we've got I'll be on 929 on Thursday with Steak and battling it up, and I heard you guys talking about, you know, nothing good happens after midnight. It goes back to my uncle told me one time. He said, "Son, nothing good happens after midnight except the crystal being open."
Yeah.
And I've learned that, and you start talking about situations like that with these young men. So, listen, whatever way this thing plays out, it's going to be a tough situation for Georgia, how it's going to play, but let this thing do its due diligence, and you guys have said that from the start, see how this thing goes. But I will say, on one side of this, disciplinary, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and I think Georgia would do themselves some favors if they kind of put some of that stuff out.
Got to do it. You got to be transparent. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, Rusty.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff from him on the Dogs, guys. Coming up, more college football conversation with the bigger scope of things, including a new number one and the crazy upsets, man. He's right. The parity in college football is as good as it's ever been. And this is why the college football playoff is going to be great, because you don't know what's going to happen. Everybody thinks they...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do
Saban never would have lost that game, Carl?
But we don't. Bill Bender's going to join us, senior college football writer for Sporting News next. Let's talk some college football. Bill Bender's here, senior college football writer for the Sporting News. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, some guy talk, guys, and also back to our Falcons, who get ready for Carolina. Mike and I will be up at Flowery Branch tomorrow. It's our weekly with Coach Ra, and, of course, a couple of players will stop by as well. Make sure you tune in starting at 2 tomorrow up there at Flowery Branch. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Bill, I want to start with what's more likely, a team that's undefeated now, remaining undefeated, or all of these teams that right now we're looking at, whether it's Miami at 6, who are 6-0, or Penn State at 5-0, and Oregon at 5-0, Ohio State, we know they'll play Oregon, 5-0, Texas 5-0. Do all of these teams, is it more likely that they remain undefeated, or they end up losing a game or two?
I mean, there's only 8 Power 4 unbeatens remaining, right?
Right,
so
yep.
That number's crazy to me, and that the fact that half of the SEC has one loss.
Yep.
So we kind of wrote this week at Sporting News about that pileup, and it's coming. And I think it's not a matter of how many 2-loss teams get in the college football playoff. I think there's going to be a couple 3-loss teams. And the more carnage we get and have weekends like we did last weekend where we had, as you guys know, the ones nobody expected Vandy to win. I could lie a lot, but I didn't have Vandy or Arkansas, or probably should have had Texas A&M. That one's on me.
We were talking about Alabama yesterday because we have a lot of Bama fans in our metro area, obviously, and they're just like, well, Saban wouldn't have lost that game. And, I mean, this is DeBoer. I mean, is that part of the learning curve for DeBoer that there's no night off even against the Vandy in the SEC?
I mean, Kirby would feel the same thing, right? If Kirby beat Alabama and then lost to Vanderbilt the next week, I think Georgia fans would feel the same way. It's like, I think Kalen more so, though, because he's just got there.
Mm-hmm.
And all that goodwill from beating Georgia is out the door because the typical Alabama fan's going to say, there's no way we lose to Vanderbilt. And I think, you know, maybe that's me living in the Central Ohio bubble, but I know that Ohio State hasn't lost to an unranked team since 2018. Is the last Georgia loss to an unranked team that South Carolina game about 5 years ago? It's been a long time.
Right.
It has. Do you think Clemson has turned their season around? I mean, they looked god-awful against Georgia, and now it looks like they are in contention where we thought they might be. They're currently ranked 10th. They've been, you know, moving up the rankings, but they look so much better than what we saw in week one. Have they turned their program around?
Clemson, yes. They're ranked 10th. That caught me by surprise. I thought they were higher. Cade Klubnik's got it put together, doesn't he? He has 12 touchdown passes. They're running the ball effectively. I think we've seen Georgia do that to Oregon and then Oregon go on and have a great season. And I think within the ACC, there still has to be a little bit of intimidation factor within that conference with Clemson because they've been dominant for so long within the ACC. So for me, it's Miami's good. Good. Pitt's good. But if you're asking me to pick the ACC champion today, I would probably pick Clemson.
I know that Miami's been living dangerously, as Bill Bender joins us, guys, senior college football writer for the Sporting News, finding a way. And some would say the ACC refs are kind of making sure that there's a standard bearer for this program. I'm going to keep it, since you mentioned Ohio State, I'm going to keep it with a big game this weekend. Dan Lanning is 7-5 against top 25 teams as a head coach. Do you think that they can get it done? I mean, he goes and gets the stud quarterback, steals it from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, if not now, when for the third-ranked Oregon Ducks?
Yeah, huge game for Dan Lanning. And a huge game for the Big Ten, you know, for a guy like me that grew up in that and the traditional nature of it. There's a trend to watch this weekend, and I dug this trend up. So from 2000 to 2023, before this season, when the Big Ten team went out to play a Pac-12 team in a regular season game, their record, believe it or not, 10-31. That's horrible. So, you know, that's why last weekend Michigan going out to Washington, aside from the quarterback situation, was not surprising. So for me, there's a little bit of pressure on Ohio State to go out there and win and prove that it's a complete team, which I saw on Saturday. And for Penn State to go out to USC and win, you know, at the Coliseum. It's a big year for Penn State. Mm-hmm. USC back against the wall after a second loss. And you're seeing it, right? You're seeing the Pac-12 schools come over to the Midwest, and they haven't had a lot of success so far.
No, they really haven't. I wanted to ask you about the perception nationally of Georgia, because Mike and I have been talking today about a story here locally where one of their wide receivers, his name's Kobe Young, starter, was arrested. And we've seen, you know, this happen, whether it's reckless driving, speeding, obviously the history over the last 4 or 5 years for Georgia with these kinds of incidents has continued to rise. What is the national perception, or does it even play, in your opinion, when people think about Georgia and where this program is right now?
Well, it's two separate stories. The off-the-field arrest, I mean, as they pile up, it's become a little bit of a national punchline. And I don't, you know, there will probably be more, but the total's pretty high. And I think that's something to keep in mind. It's a tagline that Urban Meyer dealt with at Florida. And I'm not saying these are the same things, but as that total goes up, you experience that. On the field, I mean, the concern I would have for Georgia on the field is the running attack hasn't been dominant in SEC play. They're averaging over a shade over 3 yards per carry. And I'm so used to watching Georgia just maul people with that running game, and it sets up everything else. And I mean, unless you guys are closer to it than me, am I missing something there? I think they got to get that running game. This is a good week to do it too,
right,
where you get that right against Mississippi State before you get into the what is a lot of meat left on the schedule.
Yeah, and they've been slow starters, Bill, as Bill Bender joins us from Sporting News. They've had slow starts, and you're right, the run game. We thought that Trevor Etienne was going to be a rock star, and he did miss a game for a sort of a quasi-suspension against Clemson, alluding to off-field issues. But yeah, just not having that much. The thing is, the superstar defensive like guy is going to be a first or second overall pick in the draft. They don't have that guy on the defense right now, and I think that's the difference in the DNA from the championship teams.
Yeah, and I think that's something to keep in mind. And then on defense, they're fine, though. I mean, it's, again, taking care of business when you have to. That wasn't always pretty against Auburn last week, but they were not on the front page last week, and that's a good thing, right? Alabama was on the front page, and Tennessee was probably on the bottom of the front page for that loss at Arkansas. And, you know, one of the things I'm curious about with the SEC in general is I don't think you can pass those losses off as, oh, it's just tough to win week in, week out in the SEC. You got to take care of business at Vanderbilt. You got to take care of business at Arkansas if you're Tennessee, if you want me to believe that you are a top 10 team. But maybe that's a product of maybe this year in particular, outside of Ohio State and Texas so far, I'm not sure anybody has lived up to the billing of a no-doubt national championship caliber team. And those two schools have a long way to go before we even get to the playoff.
Bill, tell me what you think about the Longhorns. In 2 weeks, I mean, it's Miss State this week for Georgia, and then they play at Austin. The deepest team, best team, what are your thoughts? The quarterback situation is certainly good when yours coming back, and obviously Arch Manning showing he can do the job.
Yeah, I mean, I saw them at Michigan. I went to that game and watched them dismantle the Wolverines in impressive fashion. Quinn Ewers looked really good doing it, and then he gets hurt. And best case scenario, you get a couple starts for Arch, who had a 200.4 passer rating in those starts. That's pretty incredible. I think they've answered the questions about the running back injuries. Though Jaden Blue puts it on the turf a little bit. And then defensively, they're pretty good. And so it all comes together. Haven't really been pushed or challenged yet. And, you know, I think they'll get a little bit of a challenge against Oklahoma. They're just knowing and watching that game over the years where it's typically a one-score game. Anytime I see like a 15-point spread, and I know Texas beat them 49-0 a couple years ago, but I think it'll play out a little bit closer than that.
Hey, by the way, I'm looking at the Power 5. I guess the team that maybe sneaks, because we don't talk about Iowa State, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
Their schedule is pretty freaking easy. So I guess other than that, SMU is now technically the ACC. They're 5-1.
That's right.
So there could be – do you still think that when the College Football Playoff Committee meets in this uncharted territory that there's going to be chalk and we're going to go with the big boy schools, period?
Well, Iowa State's playing grimy right now. They're doing it with defense and not a flashy formula. But that Big 12 is another – who do you pick?
Right.
There's six teams with one loss, and we get – I'm telling you, this is a not-so-fearless prediction. If Colorado finds a way to beat Kansas State, the hype machine will come back because they will look like – Kansas State's one of the Big 12 favorites still, mm-hmm. and Colorado can pull off that victory. They'd be undefeated in conference play, and it'll be off the chain again. So I think that Utah and Iowa State, it's not even a given this weekend. They go to West Virginia at night, and the Mountaineers are playing a little bit better. That's been a fun race to watch, but I felt like about it how I felt all season, that it's not quite at the caliber of the SEC and the Big Ten.
Hmm. All right, last thing for me, Bill, before we let you go, and check out Bill Bender. Follow him, guys, senior college football writer. Are you familiar with Project Rudy?
I just took a look at that from Ross Dellinger this morning, and, you know, Super League stuff's been written, and I don't think the talk about a Super League is going anywhere because it's fascinating. And it's, you know, I made this comparison. The SEC is kind of like the AFC right now.
Mm.
One undefeated team, crazy games. I mean, to me, I made the comparison. Did Arkansas-Tennessee feel a little bit like the Cardinals beating the 49ers?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. We'll definitely dive into it. Bill, thanks so much for jumping on with us, man. We appreciate it. It's been a fun college football season so far. We're just getting started. It's going to be a lot more to get to, so thanks again.
Hey, let's check in again soon. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Cool.
This is the Super League concept.
Well, you and I have been talking about it for years now. Now maybe getting some juice.
So this is spearheaded by former Disney executives, hedge fund folks.
Right. Yeah, Wall Street will get involved. Giddy up.
And the SEC and the Big Ten are going to hear it this week. But that's the nickname. So if you hear this, that's what they're talking about. And they're talking about a 70-team structure.
And that's where we're at. I mean, you and I have always said 70, 75 teams. That's where it's going. That's where college football is heading, one way or the other.
Preserve the conferences, because the SEC doesn't want to give up the SEC. Big Ten don't want to give up. Preserve the conferences, expand the postseason, overhaul the schedules. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, do NASCAR drivers have collision? Because they sure needed it at Talladega. And why is Manny Machado trying to kill Dave Roberts with a baseball? Next. I'm cracking Carl up today because, you know, during the commercial break, sometimes we get on the Twitter. We don't call it X. And in this case, Carl, I got on Kyle Brandt's Twitter feed from Good Morning Football, one of my favorite football shows. And he had a picture of Jeff Ulbrich, the interim coach of the Jets now that Saleh got fired.
Yeah.
Former linebacker coach here with the Falcons. And it was him when he was a linebacker. And a long career with the 49ers. He's kind of like their fifth linebacker. But his picture with the Mohawk. And he goes, I really like this guy. And I said, just a reminder, Kyle, he talked our management into drafting Tack McKinley over T.J. Watt. Anyway, because it's a guy who's on national with Brandt, he's getting a lot of juice. So Jets fans now are going, "What? You're just in your feelings because it doesn't matter." And I go, "Dude, don't worry. I'm just giving you some background.
Relax.
I'm your interim head coach. It will all be over soon enough."
Georgia fans love Jeff Ulbrich, though.
That's yes. true.
Because he was the reason why Roquan Smith ended up at UGA.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That is.
So it's funny, though, how Jets fans, like, I just love triggering Jets fans. So I'm just being totally passive aggressive in my responses now on this stuff.
It's so funny.
Just having fun.
Well, they're trying to be, you know, optimistic, and you're like, yeah. you know, you're telling them, hey, here's a little history.
Guy goes, you're here crying about a linebacker coach drafting a player. I go, I'm just giving you background on your new interim head coach.
That's how you said it?
Don't worry. It'll all be over soon.
And that calm, cool
yes.
voice.
I also said, look, you got a stooge as your offensive coordinator.
You do.
Hey, man, it's just that's a them problem with the Jets. More on that coming up. Talks about NFL, but Robert Saleh, as Carl mentioned, is out. A lot of folks feeling that he was going to fire Nathaniel Hackett before he was greeted by Jet security and said, we'll need you to come over here and talk to Mr. Johnson.
You think this was a circumvent? Like, seriously, is he coming in the building to fire Hackett? Bring him to my office.
I mean, either way, it just gets tongues wagging that Aaron Rodgers is the power behind the Jets and how it's just beyond dysfunctional and he doesn't have his A game anymore.
Well, they paid him, Mike. They extended him. They've given him all the power. And remember, here's the deal about Nathaniel Hackett. If you guys, just real quick, last year when he goes down, and I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, the offense was pathetic. Everybody wanted to point the finger at the quarterback. Mike, this year you've got Garrett Wilson coming out and saying, I don't think we're as creative as some of these other teams I'm watching on Sunday.
Right.
That's his own number one wide receiver. He did nothing to improve the offense from a schematic situation. You know this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
And Quincy Williams, Jets linebacker, before everything hit the fan today, says, I'm going to be honest. People getting tired of hearing the same blank. People got to start talking accountability. People getting tired of hearing the same blank every week. That's all I got to say. So that's out there.
Get that microphone out of my face.
So that's out there on the street. And if it's Robert Saleh or Aaron Rodgers, whoever's talking, well, you ain't gonna hear Saleh no more. Speaking of talking, last night I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, there's nothing on, and I'm flipping around. This is before the Monday night game. And I'm like, where's the Yankees and the Royals?
Sure.
And it's on MLB, which means we get Bob Costas. Look, Bob Costas is very, very smart and great and knows everything about baseball. Hard to listen to as a play-by-play announcer, if we're honest. But why is he rooting so hard against the Royals? Take a listen.
Hit the short. Whip. Gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can. And it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit. Couldn't beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
All right, first of all, his entire tone changed.
Hit the short. Whip. Gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can. And it's
Bob got some loot on this? I mean, come on.
Look, Bob, I get it. We're not all baseball royalty. We don't all get to give eulogies at Mickey Mantle's funeral at St. Patrick's, but hey.
Wow.
You know, holy cow, right?
Yeah, that's obvious, Mike.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
Anyway, that's making the rounds on social media. Also, this Dodgers-Padres thing, we talked about it yesterday when you were coming back.
I love this, by the way.
By the way, first off, I've never seen anything like what Jerkson Profar did, stealing the Mookie Betts home run and then sandbagging, and no one knows if it's a home run or not, and he's just mean mugging with the Dodger fans.
He's great, right?
And then Manny Machado, you know, a ball gets grounded out, it gets back to him. Before he throws it to the pitcher, or it's banged up, you're getting rid of it. Discard it. Throw it to the Dodgers bat boy. And he puts a little extra mustard on it, and it hits the net right in front of Dave Roberts. And you didn't think somebody got shot. They're breaking down this film, as we say, like the Zapruder film of JFK. And everyone's going bananas. And the Dodgers, he seems so soft right now. Flaherty was joined with Machado. I'm not a big Manny Machado fan, but God, Carl, I want a Padres to win this.
I do too. And Roberts, the manager, was like, yes, he put some extra juice on it. I don't know what his intent was, but he put some extra juice on it. Here's what I do know, Mike, and this is what I love. Machado was like, you want to meet me in the tunnel? You want to meet me in the tunnel? And I love it when guys do that, because if it's on, like, we can just drop the glove. Let's go meet in the tunnel. Nobody has to see.
Now, look, I know there's a bracelet going, go ahead, Mike, compare it to Arcia. Okay, I will. Here's a guy He's actually walking the walk. In the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle.
He's not running from it.
Not revisiting it or not looking at his shoes when a guy you're jawing with goes around the bases screaming and giving you the mean mug. Talk about Bryce Harper.
Yeah. I agree with you, bro. And by the way, I hope this intensifies. I want some flare-ups.
Right.
I don't want anybody hurt, but I do think that this is good for baseball. And these two teams, Mike, the Dodgers and the Padres, Dodgers think they're better than everybody. Certainly they think they're better than the Dodgers or the Padres.
I know they got screwed by the Astros, whatever, they were cheating or not, but they've only got one World Series, and it happened to the Braves' expense the 2020 season when we had them on the ropes, 3 games to 1. I can't stand the Dodgers. Hey, man, NASCAR. Didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday for guys who made the trip over to Talladega because Falcons were off. 28-car wreck. They've always had the big one at Talladega.
Weather?
This was the big one. Guys up front, cars get loose, guys get a little too far ahead, and the aerodynamics kick in, and next thing you know, and everybody wrecks. Oh. Ricky Stenhouse goes on to get the win. Guys are all pointing fingers, screaming.
How long did the race take? Forever?
Well, you got to take 28 cars.
Oh.
I don't think you got 28 tow trucks or 28 flatbeds. Now, some were able to get back to the pits, but you get the idea.
I like to see the wrecks, but I hate the wait. That's
right.
The thing.
And the thing is, it always comes late in the race, and there was some amazing moments at Talladega. They were going 4 wide at 192 miles an hour. 4 wide, and they did that for a while. Mm. So there's some crazy stuff, but that was the big one. Speaking of the big one, information at the – I love this kind of stuff from Formula 1. Obviously, F1 cars cost a little bit more than NASCAR stock cars. This year, you want the record for the most money in car damage to drivers?
In other words,
you've wrecked a car either in practice
or
in the race.
This is F1? How much?
Sergio Perez at Red Bull has caused $4.5 million worth of damage.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be
Yes, Logan Sargeant from Fort Lauderdale, the only American driver in Formula 1 who's now fired.
That's crazy.
$3 million in damage to the Williams that he drives.
That's insane.
Yep, his former teammate, Albon, with $2.3 million. Carlos Sainz. Hello, I'm Carlos Sainz. Hello, ladies. $1.7 million worth of busted-up Ferraris. And Yuki Tsunoda, $1.6 million in damage to his ride. Formula 1 cars, for those who don't know, are very expensive.
Yeah, and this is why that sport is so crazily expensive. Right. But here's the deal. What do you do with that stuff? They just throw it away?
Some of it comes... I told you, the year we were in Canada, I could have had a fender off of Williams. Remember the tire?
Oh, the guy offered you.
Becky's like, how are we getting this home? I don't care.
Yeah, I'll ship it.
Exactly. Anyway, I want to hear...
Carry on.
I'm sorry we ran late, but we'll get your Pittsburgh story coming up.
Oh,
we're 7, because Carl was at one of the biggest games of the weekend. Then we had to wait for the rain. What did you guys do during the rain delay, by the way?
I got a great story for you. Okay. I really do. The rain, as a matter of fact, Orin, I didn't see your text. Because it was like the rain shut down the Wi-Fi in the stadium. And so people weren't getting service.
Oh.
But they made, and you guys, if you've ever done this, where it rains, it's raining so hard, but lightning was in the area.
Yeah.
So they make you go underneath, right? You can't exit the stadium, but everybody has to leave their seats. So we're like sardines, Mike. You're packed in there like everybody's like this. Everybody's trying to get a beer. Then the beer machine goes down.
Oh, snap.
Like the pay, you know, you tap your card. So literally people were in line just popping beers open, partying. No one's paying. Nobody's paying. It was crazy. So that was why the delay. And then, you know, you come out of the delay and everybody's all, you know, ready to go, man, gassed
that's
up.
That's awesome.
But,
that's...
yeah, man, I got a great story to tell. I will tell you about a lady who collapsed.
Oh, snap. Snap.
And then what happened?
Oh, vigorous chest massage.
You gotta wait to hear this.
Hey, we'll come back, guys. We got some Falcon report to get to. Dukes and Belk, by the way, hitting the bricks. They have Hey Man Ale on tap. We'll be at the Taco Mac in Woodstock, guys. Thursday, Woodstockians, come on by and have a brew with us.
It's gonna be a good time. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We're coming back. Listen, maybe I'm being less optimistic than you, but if we are a real contender, this is the week. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.